Jesus before the Sanhedrin, chapter 80. Now tell me something about your disciples. Who are they who believe in you? How many disciples do you have? The Lord stands shackled and bound before his judge. Who is this judge? Boys and girls, you must be very attentive. When the troop of soldiers and the Jewish servants returned from their march to Gethsemane with Jesus as their captive and re-entered Jerusalem, it was late in the night. All the inhabitants of Jerusalem were asleep. But these rulers did not desire to wait until the morning to try Jesus. No, the Pharisees who had gone with the band did not want to lose any time. It was their intention to make sure Jesus was put to death as quickly as possible. All actions must be concluded before the people awakened the next morning. If this had succeeded, Jesus would have been dead before the people knew anything of it. For this purpose, the Sanhedrin must be called together in great haste. Yes, but they are sleeping too. Only a few members had gone along to the garden. This case is so important, they must sacrifice their night's rest for this one time. They must be awakened. But in the meantime, what must be done with Jesus? That is a difficult matter. It would not do to remain on the street. They have a solution. They can bring their captive into the home of Annas. Annas? Who is he? Annas is a former high priest. At this time, he no longer is the high priest. Caiaphas is the high priest. Annas and Caiaphas are related to each other. Caiaphas is married to a daughter of Annas. Hence, he is the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Probably some of you are thinking, a high priest remained a high priest until his death, didn't he? Yes, you are correct. It should have been so. God had commanded this in his laws. But in the days of which we are speaking, the weighty office of high priest was sometimes disposed of by the Romans. In this way, a high priest was removed, and another high priest came in his place while the former still was alive. Undoubtedly, this also happened here. Annas was still alive, and his son-in-law Caiaphas became the high priest in his place. Some writers think Annas and Caiaphas were high priests by turn. Every year they would relieve each other. Now you know who Annas is. Whatever it may have been, in the meantime the Lord Jesus was brought into the home of Annas. Jesus stands before Annas, and while the messengers go through the deserted streets of Jerusalem to the homes of the members of the Sanhedrin, calling the men out of bed. Meanwhile, Annas begins to question Jesus, hoping this Nazarene will say something wrong. He hopes he can find something against Jesus, so later on he can inform the Sanhedrin of it. If he were successful, the trial would be hastened, for haste is necessary. Therefore, Annas asks Jesus several things. He asks Jesus about his disciples. He asks about the doctrine of Jesus. It is as though he says, "Tell me exactly what the content of your preaching is." The Lord Jesus answers immediately, "Must I still tell you? Every day I spoke openly in the temple. Everyone could come and listen to me. Hundreds surrounded me and heard my words. I did not speak secretly. Ask the people what I always preached. Ask those who heard me. They will be able to tell you. This was a good answer, children, for the Lord spoke the truth. However, one of the servants is offended because of this answer. He thinks the Lord Jesus is impudent toward Annas. He gives Jesus a slap on the face. He looks at the Savior and furiously snarls at him. Must you answer the high priest in such an impudent way? Jesus did not deserve this slap, for he did not give an impudent answer. What Jesus said was the complete truth. This was a great humiliation for the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus does not get angry. He only asks, "Why smitest thou me? Have I said anything wrong?" We do not know what was said in addition to this in the house of Annas. The Bible does not tell us. Therefore, I cannot tell you any more about it. In the midnight hours, the members of the Sanhedrin hastened to the home of Caiaphas. When they were awakened and heard why they must come, they immediately arose with gladness in their hearts. They dressed themselves as quickly as possible and soon are assembled in the house of the high priest. When most of them are present, a message is sent to Annas that Jesus must come. A little later, the Lord Jesus enters Caiaphas's house. He is still securely bound. He soon stands as a malefactor before the Jewish council. See those proud rulers of the Jewish people sitting there. In our country, when a man or woman, boy or girl, must appear in court, all matters are carefully investigated. If all things are as they should be, the judge has no desire to pass sentence upon such a person. No, he would rather acquit the person before him. It is true, if it is proven such a person is guilty, the judge must pass sentence. But if it appears the man or woman is innocent, the judge acquits the accused. With the Sanhedrin, it is not so. This firm resolution already has been made by them. Jesus must die. This is well enough, but they must look for something upon which they can condemn Jesus. They cannot declare him guilty without a reason, can they? No, that is impossible. They must look for something. We read in Matthew's Gospel, they sought false witness against him. Thus, his accusers are false accusers. All this does not happen accidentally, but on purpose. Horrible, isn't it? The one says one thing, another says something else. The third tells another story. But no one says the same thing. Besides, what they say about Jesus is nothing but lies. They accuse Jesus falsely. And does the Savior defend himself? Why, no. He is silent. Hours go by. They can find nothing which is worthwhile. This is a clear proof of Jesus' innocence. Finally, two accusers come who say, "We have heard him say, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" This is a lie, children. The Lord Jesus did not say it that way. By the temple, the Lord Jesus meant his own body. The Jews would kill him. But after 3 days, the Lord Jesus again would raise the temple of his body. This means he would arise from the dead after 3 days. But these false accusers say Jesus meant the stone buildings in Jerusalem. These two witnesses did not say exactly the same thing. Their evidence conflicted. Caiaphas stands up. Answerest thou nothing? He says to Jesus. He acts as though he thinks this is dreadful. Answerest thou nothing? Don't you hear of what you are accused? Is this true? Did you really say such a terrible thing about our holy temple? They all wait anxiously for the Lord's answer. What will he say to this accusation? How will he defend himself? It becomes very quiet. They all hold their breath. They stare at him searchingly. But it remains quiet. Jesus is silent. What? Is the Lord silent? Can't he defend himself? Doesn't he know what he should answer to this accusation? The Lord does not desire to say anything. He will not give an answer to this untrue accusation. He will not say a word against all this nonsense. To him, it is not worthwhile. By his silence, he condemns these seemingly holy hypocrites. But suppose the Lord really did mean the stone temple in Jerusalem. Would it be sufficient to condemn Jesus to death? At best, they could say, he does not have his right mind. No one should be condemned to death for saying such a thing, should he? Boys and girls, therefore the Lord Jesus is silent. He will not defend himself against this foolishness. The members of the Sanhedrin look at each other. This way they make no progress. If only they could find something whereby they could accuse Jesus of something wrong. They feel that everything which had been spoken really had no value. It is impossible to sentence Jesus to death upon those things. It is a difficult matter. They really do not know what to do. They are perplexed with this affair. Suddenly, a bright idea comes to Caiaphas, and surely it must succeed. He stands up and speaks with hypocritical seriousness. I adjure thee, by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ. Are you really God's son, or are you not? It has become very quiet. The tension rises. Will Jesus still remain silent? No. The Lord Jesus may no longer remain silent. He must speak, and he does. Just listen. Seriously and calmly, his voice rings out, Thou hast said. In our country, we would say, Yes. Here the Messiah declares publicly before the council of the Jews that he really is the Son of God, the King of Israel. At the same time, he seriously warns the rulers by saying, You do not believe this now, but the day will come when you will be forced to believe it. Then you shall see I am speaking the truth, when I shall appear upon the clouds of heaven in the day of judgment to judge the quick and the dead. You will see it, but then it will be too late to return with sorrow. The day of grace will be past. And do the rulers reverently fall down before him? Do they acknowledge him as the true Messiah? Do they weepingly ask him for forgiveness? Just look at what is happening. The high priest turns red with anger. He takes his clothing and rips them, which is a sign of extreme indignation. With a voice trembling with rage, he calls to the Sanhedrin, Now, what do you say to that? Isn't it dreadful? Isn't it awful? He, the son of Joseph, dares to say he is the Son of God. It is blasphemy. We have no need of further accusers. We all heard it from his own mouth. What do you think? What do you say about this? This occasions a violent uproar, and they shout with loud voices, hoarse with rage, he is guilty of death. The Lord Jesus is sentenced to death because he confesses he is the Son of God. Do you see that the Lord Jesus is condemned innocently? For he really is God's Son. He did not speak blasphemy. But the Lord Jesus had to be guiltless. Otherwise, he never could be the Savior. Otherwise, he never could atone for the sins of another. He would have to die for his own sins. Yes, indeed, the Lord Jesus entered death innocently, so that he could deliver sinful, guilty people from eternal damnation. He does not suffer here as a sinner or as a malefactor, for he had no sins, but he suffers as the surety and savior for his people. Although this is not easy for you to understand, you should know it, because the Lord Jesus was innocently condemned. There also is a possibility for you, boys and girls, to be saved. You still can be converted. Oh, pray to the Lord daily, if he will give you a new heart. The Sanhedrin could find no wrong in Jesus, and it is well they could not. What I still must tell you is so terrible, so cruel, I hardly dare do it. Still, I may not omit it, for it is also recorded in the Bible. Therefore, briefly, I will tell you something of it. In blind, inconsiderate rage, these prominent rulers hasten toward the shackled Jesus. Their eyes sparkle ominously. Their fists clench convulsively. Oh, they could rend to pieces this hated Nazarene, who dares to assert he is the Son of God. They gladly would have stoned him, but they dare not. They dare not? Why not? Because they no longer may kill a person without the consent of the Romans, and if they should do so, they would be severely punished. All their hatred and rage they pour upon the Lord Jesus with complete contempt. They spit in his face and slap him on the face. The Lord Jesus is pushed and beaten. They mistreat him. They put a cloth over the face of the suffering Savior. After this, they hit him and cry mockingly, "If you are the Christ, you also know who hit you. Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" And what is the answer of the Lord? Does he retaliate? Does he get angry and try to defend himself? No, Jesus is silent. Silently he endures all this scorn and derision. Silently he suffers this cruel mistreatment. Here is fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah prophesied long ago. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The Lamb of God is silent. He could defend himself very easily. He could easily avenge himself. For if he would manifest his omnipotence but for a moment, all this raging, mocking band would fall down dead. But he is silent. Voluntarily he takes this insult upon himself. He receives the blows which his people deserved. He carries here as the Savior the guilt for his people. Their unrighteousness descended upon his head. Their guilt is imputed to him. I did not tell you this so you would have compassion with the Lord Jesus, but to let you see how terrible the consequences of sin are. Just see what a high price Jesus had to pay to free his people. Do not think you sin cheaply. Never laugh at sin, nor mock with it, but ask God to deliver you from sin, for if you die unconverted, you will have to carry the punishment yourself in eternal damnation, and that will be terrible. The suffering of the Lord Jesus was intense, but you too will have to suffer just as severely if you die outside of the Savior. God is righteous. Never forget it.